Good. So first, today we're doing a survey. So you're going through all the emotions today. Today we're doing a survey. Then we're celebrating Pentecost today, the birth of the church. Yes. We are also celebrating the graduates. Right? So many things are happening. So my hope is that you experience everything, because that's what it means to be alive. Experience everything. So today we're going to start this sermon series on the Bible and the social issues. And we're going to tackle very many, many issues. My hope for you is that as you hear the teachings and the preaching and the teaching, that you go back home and you actually spend time with the scriptures, with your family, with yourself, with God, and go through all of this conversation. What does that mean for your family and for the church? Because at the end of the day, as we saw in the video, the idea is that we use the Bible to actually interpret reality in everything around us. So when we talk about truth, truth for us is a person. In his name is Jesus. When we talk about peace, peace is also a person, and his name is Jesus. So when we want to find truth, we go to Jesus. And the understanding that the resurrection and Jesus' life and ministry is a powerful declaration of truth, also for humanity. And the understanding that he preached and teach about God the Father. So the question about does God exist, we say yes. And there is many, many evidences of the existence of God, not proof, but evidence that God is real and he exists. And then we also thought about Jesus being God, and which that means is that if he's God and he's more than a moral example and a teacher, we are called to worship him. Then we go back to the scriptures to say that the scriptures are reliable to teach about the kingdom and about Jesus. And the scriptures actually are sharing the story about the resurrection, which is the cornerstone of our faith. So even if you have no Bible, you still can prove the resurrection historically, and there are more proof that the resurrection was actually real and actually happened in a moment in history. And then you have the disciples of Jesus, that we as disciples of Jesus in the 21st century is a challenge to be a disciple of Jesus. But also this idea that we are in this journey to find truth and to embrace truth. And then walking away from sometimes painful and awkward moments that you have when you share the gospel. I remember when I came to St. John last June. And my question for me was, okay, what I can bring to St. John to complement St. John? Especially when I saw you and I saw the church and everything. So I believe that in the body of Christ, we all complement each other. So the one of the simple answers to that question is that I come from a persecuted country. And I come from a church that is thriving under the persecution, but also a church where you have to pay a price for what you believe. And there is no such a thing as being free from pain and tribulation in the kingdom of God. So this idea that the gospel is all cookies and cream, that's not real. The reality is that the more we spend time with God and the more we preach the gospel and the more we live it out, we're going to have more and more encounters and more pressures. So this is not a new idea, because Jesus also, as the head of the church and the foundation of the church, he's sending letters to the churches, revealing the truth and what he believes about churches. And the fact that Jesus is still speaking to us, and when you read the book of Revelation, which is a book of truth, but also a book of hope, revealing Jesus as the Son of God, but also as the living God, and how he's sending letters to these churches to explain what he's seeing. And he says that he's the one who is walking among the churches. And as he walks among the churches, he speaks into the church. So if we believe that we are disciples of Jesus, then we need to hear Jesus' voice. And distinct, which is very distinct from the culture and government and politics and everything else that we have before us every single day. Now, What are these seven churches? Well, we have seven churches. You have Pergamon, you have Thyatira, you have Smyrna, Philadelphia, Ephesus, Laodicea, and Sardis. And these churches are in Asia Minor. And when you see the message of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, again, a book of hope, you're going to see that God wants us to focus on the vision. Because when you read the book of Revelation as a whole, you're going to see that it starts with an earthly vision where God and is revealing to the Apostle John the earth and every culture and every language, everybody worshiping God. And then you have the message to the seven churches. And then you have another vision, another godly vision. And I see the throne of God, and I see God. And then you have the seven trumpets, which is judgment. And then you have the seven acts of the judgment that the angels are revealing to the earth. And then you have another vision. And now you have the seven bowls. And then you go back and you see harlots. And then you go back and you see another vision. And then you go back and you see now the New Jerusalem. And now you see the conclusion. That's what it is. It's vision, 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 because God wants us to keep our eyes in Him. Our eyes on Him, seeing Him. So Jesus declared, I am what? And that's a very intolerant message. Because the moment you declare this message anywhere, you're going to be criticized and you're going to be pressured and people are going to look at you like you are crazy. If you say that God is a big mountain and we all can get to God in different ways, if you say that all religions are truth and all these books are truth, people will clap and embrace you. But the moment you say, hey, there is only one way to the Father, only one way to heaven, and His name and the way is Jesus, that's not as welcoming. And that's a challenge that we have to endure. And then you go deeper and you keep saying what Jesus said. He says, I'm the what? I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the two words of the alphabet in Hebrew. The Alpha is the A, and then the Omega is the Z. So I'm the beginning and the end, and everything in the middle, I'm covering. I'm God. Then he's saying, I'm the Lord God. So people say, Jesus never declared that he's God. Yes, he did. I am the Lord God, who is and who was, talking about the resurrection, who is to come, talking about the second coming of Jesus. He's coming back again. And then he says, I am the Almighty. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of the death and Hades. But in the same book, he also saying, I have these seven stars in my hand, and I have these seven lampstands in my hand, talking about angels, talking about the church, and coming together to say, listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to the church. So we believe that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is one book, which is a library because actually includes 66 books. Psalms 119 says, all your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. Proverbs 30, every word of God proves true. He is the shield for those who take refuge in him. And then 2 Timothy, a scripture is inspired by God and our guide for truth. Now, we know that people use the Bible for everything and anything. And people abuse the Bible every day. But you're not going to stop reading the Bible because people abuse it. This talks more about the people that abuse the Bible than the Bible. I'm a doctor. I'm a surgeon. So imagine that you come to me and say, people are abusing drugs, so next time you're going to perform a surgery on me, don't use drugs. I'm going to wait. No, you're not going to do that. Say, give me drugs. Give me that. Give it to me. Give it to me. Right? So we don't stop using things because people are misusing it, especially the Bible. You have to spend time with the Holy Spirit and preach the gospel. And preach the gospel. So then we have this message to the seven churches, and Jesus is comparing and giving the picture of a church as a lampstand. Talking, going back to the temple and the menorah, we have all these seven lights that the God of the Bible is showing us and pointing to Asia Minor as an example. Now, you have the message to the seven churches, and there is many ways to approach this. You can approach it from in 2,000 years. The church has behaved in all these ways, all these seven ways in 2,000 years. You can also say that even now in the present, we have churches that are behaving this way, and Jesus is giving us warnings and also blessings. And then you have also people who are behaving this way. That's the message of the seven churches. Now, when we see the book of Revelation, you're going to see that the Apostle John is preaching and teaching and having all these visions, but he himself is in the island of Patmos, and he's being persecuted, and he's paying a price for the message of the gospel, for what he believed, for testifying that the God in Jesus revealed himself, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he's saying that these letters that he's writing, what he's seeing, he's sending this to the seven pastors of the churches. So there is an interpretation that the angels are the actual pastors of the church. But when I look myself and ask my wife, she says, he's no angel. So there is other interpretation that you have, that are actual angels, beings, angelic beings, are protecting churches spiritually. And that's part of it. And Jesus is revealing and speaking and giving, you know, holding angels and holding pastors and leaders and churches accountable for preaching the gospel and standing fast to the message of the kingdom. Now, based on these seven churches, it's really easy to organize these seven churches in three categories: good churches, bad churches, and ugly churches. The good, the bad, and the ugly. As a superintendent, in 5 years, I had all the churches. Philadelphia, Smyrna, those are the good churches. Then you have the bad churches, Laodicea and Sardis. And then you have the ugly churches, Pergamum, Ephesus, and Thyatira. And when you see the message that Jesus is giving us, it's for us to interpret and to think, and hopefully the fear of God will come upon us as a church. My goal with this message is, as you hear all of this, you ask the question, if Jesus now were to send a letter to St. John, what that letter will be saying? What would be the letter that Jesus will write in for St. John today? Not 45 years ago, today. What do you think that letter will be saying? I want you to reflect on that. Because yes, we're taking this survey, but the survey is a personal survey. So you're supposed to spend as much time as talking to the people about it than you spend time talking to Jesus about it. And going back to the scriptures, and wherever you are and whatever you decide, you decide that in the scriptures, that you are able to articulate your position based on the scriptures also, not only relational, not only emotionally, but also based on the scriptures. That's my hope. I will respect whatever position you choose. If you come and say, this is what I believe and here's why. Not only emotion, not only relational, which is important, but also biblically, how you are come up with this information. So this is the challenge that we have, and hope that as I go through it, think and reflect about St. John. Now, number one, Philadelphia. Jesus commends their faithfulness, perseverance in keeping the word. The word. This is Revelation 3:10 says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. We are being tested all the time. And God is saying two things here. Hey, keep my command, but also endure with patience. So I hope that St. John embraced this word. Let's be patient. Let's be patient. Let's talk. Let's have conversations. Let's see how the Lord is leading this church one way or the other. But let's spend time together. You have been together for 45 years. Even in my first sermon, I said to you, let's walk, let's talk, let's have conversations, let's be patient, let's love one another. And if we actually have been saying for 45 years, I love you, and I miss you, now when we might disagree or agree or disagree, regardless of where you are, it's time to have a conversation. That's what people who love each other do. And if you say to me, I love you, and at the moment that we need to have a conversation, you walk away from me, I will question your love for me. Because if you really love me, you will sit down with me, and you spend time with me, and then we cry together, we agree to disagree, and then we go out and eat a Cuban sandwich together. And move on. Because only God can come from heaven and actually set the record straight for everyone. Do you agree? So let's all follow, you know, what we believe and follow the Holy Spirit and decide who we are. Smyrna, one of the beautiful churches, despite facing suffering and poverty, Jesus encouraged them to remain faithful and promises them the crown of life. And when I think about these churches, Revelation 2, do not be afraid, says the Lord. Do not be afraid. The devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days, which means for a little while. Be faithful, or even to the point of death. Here is where we are going, regardless of what we say today. The persecution is coming to America, like every place and everywhere in the world. The question is, are you ready to pay a price for what you believe? Are you ready to pay a price for you to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? This is what the Word of God says. Are you ready to pay a price even to the point of death and even to be tested in prison? Because when you really have values, there's no joke with your values. And when you have this faith, there's no joke about that. Are you really, 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 really believing the stuff? Because you're going to be tested, I'm going to be tested, everyone will be tested, and we have to testify who we are. The question is, you know how committed a person is to his value and his faith and his Lord, not in the time of peace when everything is cookies and cream. It's when you are tested and you are challenged and there is things to lose and there is a price to pay. Laodicea, Jesus rebukes them for being lukewarm in their faith and encouraged them to repent and seek true riches from him. And he's saying, you know what? I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'd rather have you being cold than lukewarm. You are lukewarm, neither hot or cold. I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. This is a challenge for every church in the 21st century. And this survey will help people to decide where the church is. So if St. John decides to be a traditional church, then don't be lukewarm about it and be a traditional church. If St. John decides to be a progressive church, full inclusion for everything, then don't be lukewarm about it and be who you are. And then if you decide to be a century church, don't be lukewarm about it and let everybody know who you are. That's it. But what Jesus is challenging this church in Laodicea is don't be shaky and wishy-washy and I don't know, and chameleon and changing colors. That's not okay. We are one thing, or we are the other, but if you are following truth, we cannot be both. Sardis, they are wanted to wake up and strengthen what remains as their deeds are incomplete before God. Revelation 3:2, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God. This is a message for churches and people who start well, and then they begin to sway and start doing other things. So remember when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Remember when you come to the waters and you were baptized. Remember the first time you came to the table for half communion for the first time. Remember the first time that you cry in worship or raise your hands in adoration to God. And then you go back home and you talk about it. You are excited. You pray. You fast. You read the Bible. But then the worries of life, the following success, seeking more and more your personal agenda, so following the world, little by little you start going backwards on this, and you stop doing what God called you to do. But you somehow, even you are not worshiping anymore, you are not even here, you are watching online, or you are even not watching at all, and then you still know deep down that you are still a child of God. And you know what God says? Even if you are in a nightclub, he says, wake up before you lose that last piece, that revelation, that witness, that testimony in your soul that you are still a child of God. Because if you are a child of God, guess what? Your pastor cannot say that for you. You have to say it for yourself. And if you believe it, that's enough. I don't care if the pastor believes it or the other person believes it. I know I am a child of God. That testimony can only come from the Spirit inside of you. And God is saying, if you have that testimony inside of you, wake up and start living and go back to your first love. Go back to worshiping and seeking the Holy Spirit again and finding ways to continue preaching the gospel in this changing world and full of uncertainty. You have Pergamum. Jesus commends them for their faith, but he also warns them against following false teachings and immorality. And every church in the 21st century is having the same challenges. Revelation 2, 14, 15, he says, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold the teachings of Balaam. And you can go back home and read what the teaching of Balaam is. But he was a prophet, and he was called to curse Israel. And then when he was asked to do that, he said, I cannot curse Israel because they are already blessed. God already blessed them, and what is blessed, no one can curse. And when you apply that to your own life, it means that if you are a child of God, you are blessed. And when you are blessed, no one can curse you. Even your mama can curse you, and you are still blessed. Even your daddy, your neighbor, anyone can curse you, and you are still blessed. Because you are a child of the living God. And you go to Revelations, and you're going to see again and again and again. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. I will give you the crown of life. I will dress you in white. I will give you the nations. Blessings, 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 blessings. Bless those who are in Jesus, Lord and Savior. Who are in Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Then you have the teaching of Balaam, which is this prophet cursing and invited to curse Israel and invite the church. Now in the book of Revelations, Jesus is using the same story to say, be careful with the false teachings and the immorality. Then you have Ephesus, which is the church that was full of gifts and graces. And you see Ephesians 4:11, where God has apostles and prophets and teachers. It was a church that was on fire, and Timothy was the pastor of that church. They are reminded to return to their first love and repent from their love of passion. So if you don't feel passion anymore to preach the gospel, to share God with others, to open the scriptures. Even if you open the scripture the first day, this is what's going to happen. You open the first day, you are sleepy. The second day, you keep doing it, you keep doing it, you keep doing it. Believe me, if you keep doing it, you're going to start reading at some point. Because the Holy Spirit will help you to do that and go back to the scriptures and pray. And that's why people don't like to pray and spend time with God. You ask people to serve, they are ready to serve. Most of the people I know, they have no problem spending 5 hours cleaning the church or feeding the hungry or cleansing the naked. But you ask them to pray for 1 hour, they either don't show up or don't do it. Why? Because the flesh is not used to spend time in the presence of God. We are used to activism. But what God is saying is, come back to your first love. Spend time with me. You're going to be painful. Yes. You're going to be uncomfortable. Yes. You're going to be sleepy. Yes. But it's okay. Because even if you sleep in his presence, you're going to be blessed. Adam falls asleep. And God blesses him anyway. When he wakes up, he has this woman. There is always blessing when you go to bed with God. Now, you also have this challenge that of the Nicolaitans teachings that the Apostle John is teaching and asking them to refrain from that. Be careful with culture. Be careful with Gnosticism and all this new era stuff. And that God is energy and your color is blue and your aura and all the stuff of the madness. I have no aura and no colors. I have the Holy Spirit of God. And he's a person. He's not energy. He's not, no, he's a person. And you have to separate yourself from that and all this idea that the universe is speaking to me. The universe is a thing. It's an it. It doesn't speak to anyone unless someone is behind those energies. That's a different sermon for another day. But God himself, he's a person. And he's separate from the universe. And there is no such a thing as the law of attraction that I look and I manifest it into existence. Don't believe that. Are you crazy? Don't believe that. You can create anything. It is only one creator. And his name is God. He's not there in heaven waiting for you to manifest things into a spirit. He does that for you. It's dangerous. All these theories that you see now in the media. Imagine your new house. Imagine, 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 and you will have it. Imagine the new car. Imagine, 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 and you have it. You know what you're doing? That's called idolatry. You have a picture in your mind for a period of time, focusing on that picture that is not God. That's idolatry right there. material stuff. This is the generation with more stuff than any other generation in the world. And we are the most broken generation in the whole world. So let's keep focusing on stuff and see how it goes. Let's focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Thyatira, Jesus commanded there for love, faith, service, and said, you persevere, keep doing it. But also be careful with the teachings. And the church has been infiltrated with this prosperity gospel and all this stuff. We have to be careful. You need to check even the pastor that you have. You should not go every Sunday and say, oh, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. No, whatever he says, let me take note, let me watch it and see. If I'm not, I don't agree, let me have a meeting with him. Maybe he said it with an accent I didn't understand. That's fine. But let's have a conversation and let's talk about it. Because in reality, you should be checking everything that's come from this pulpit and everything that comes from everywhere. You are a disciple of Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Bible. You spend time together and you spend time with God. But Jesus is saying, I have this against you. Don't tolerate that woman called Jezebel. And that's another story with Elijah in the back of the Old Testament and how she was manipulating the church and manipulating the prophet to speak, you know, what she wants to teach. And when you see the book of Ephesus and other books, you're going to see that the worship of Diana, the god of Ephesus, was rampant. So he's saying, be careful with not following those teachings from idolatry. Follow God. So this is what this father of the church, Athanasius of Alexandria, said. The Bible is called the Word of God because the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of Scriptures. If you want to hear the voice of God, you need to go back to the Scriptures. So what is the call to action? Be faithful. Embrace the truth. Spend time with God. Spend time with your family. Rethink. Relearn. Put everything before him. Learn again. Reread the same passages. Open yourself to other interpretations, other ways. Think, pray, and learn. And most importantly, I hope that the fear of God comes upon St. John. This is not your church. It's the church of Jesus. And we all are going to give an account for this church. Me as a pastor, you as a member of his body. And whatever we do, whatever we decide, let's do it with fear and trembling because we all might be wrong. We all make wrong decisions. We all do things. But it's so important that whatever we do, at the minimum, we can say with transparency, I was following the Spirit, I was reading the Word, and this is the conclusion that I have. If you do that, the Holy Spirit will honor that and guide you today and tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, grant us discernment to recognize and embrace your absolute truth. Help us to navigate the complexities of contemporary issues with wisdom and compassion. We know that you are God. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Holy Spirit says to the church. Amen.